What are some of the things that you have to be mindful of in today's modern shipping in order to be an effective repo man of the high seas?
Well, the first thing you have to do is find out exactly what's going on. And the most important thing to me, and now that I have a company, Vessel Extractions LLC, with my partner, Michael Bono, we make very certain that our client has an immediate possessory right to the vessel, or we just won't get involved. Once we determine that and we decide that we should go forward, the first thing to do is to find out the situation on the ground, and the only way to do that is for me to actually physically go to the port where the ship's been seized and conduct intelligence.
And so talk about it. What do you mean by intelligence?
Well, I have to find out who's watching the ship, who's on board, whether there are any guards on board, whether there's any crew on board, if there's a crew on board, whether they're hostile or friendly. I have to find out if the ship has been sabotaged. A lot of times these thieves they figure that somebody like me might come along to try to get it back, and so they will take something critical out of the engine room or otherwise sabotage the ship. I have to find out who may be watching the ship from the shore, who can see the ship. If the situation is particularly dicey, I may have to use the weather or wait till the dark of night, wait till there's a moonless night to take the ship out. Once I've done that, once I've done my intelligence and I find out the situation, then I have to bring my crew in, and of course we have to come in surreptitiously, and I put them in different hotel rooms and keep a low profile, and then we have to get on board the ship without being seen. Either get the engine started or get a tugboat to come up and get it, and then take her out to international water.
And how do you determine whether or not a ship has been sabotaged? You have to get into the engine room, don't you, in order to be able to do that?
That's right, and that's one of the trickiest part of this job, because when you do that, you have to do it without being seen, without anybody knowing you're doing it, and so you have to feel your way around the engine room. And I have to say that I personally am not qualified. When I have to do an engine room inspection like that, then I will bring a chief engineer with me. An engine room is just too complex for somebody, a deck man like myself, to know what he's doing down there.
As you go in and you look at these giant engines, I mean, these things are huge, obviously. These are many times very complex engines. I would just think, wouldn't it just be easier always to just get a tug, throw a rope on it, and just start towing and just do it that way?
Well, there are several considerations. One is that, of course, a tug and tow is much slower than a ship under its own power. Also, the tug may attract attention coming in to get the ship, so that sometimes it's better for the ship just to go out by itself. It's a lot easier to pretend that the ship is going out normally. Let's say, for example, that it has a clearance, because it would be a little bit unusual for a ship to be towed out. So
right.
There are a number of considerations. I've done it both ways.
We're talking with Captain Max Hardberger, author of Seized. Is essentially a repo man for giant freighter ships and for big cargo vessels. Has anybody that you know of that does what you did or did what you did in the past, has anybody been killed doing what you do?
Well, I would imagine throughout history somebody probably has. I don't know of it.
But there's no legend.
One guy who's been caught, and he spent some time in a Colombian jail.
And he was caught doing what?
Trying to steal a ship out of San Andres, Colombia. It was actually his own ship that had been stolen from him, and he was trying to steal it back.
Why would he have to go to jail for that?
Well, because the Colombian government wanted his ship, and they had, when they caught him trying to get it back, he had to go to jail not because he had done anything wrong, but because he had violated the will of the Colombian government.
Did he eventually get out of jail and get his ship back?
Never got his ship back. He did eventually get a compassionate release and was sent home to Scotland.
And what's the closest you've come in the many stories of, and I haven't read all of them yet in the book Seized, what's the closest you've come to not making it back?
Well, there have been a few of them. Perhaps the Patrick M, the time that I was trying to get the Patrick M out, we couldn't get the engine started. And
we'll talk about that. What was the Patrick M? Where was the Patrick M that you were trying to retrieve it?
It was in Puerto Cabello, Venezuela, and it had been the same scam that I mentioned. It had been sent to that port by a corrupt charterer who knew he could steal the ship in that port.
And so you go down to get it back, and what happens?
Well, I did research on the ground. We had a friendly agent. The agent is the local man who handles ship's affairs, and the agent was a good guy, and he had a friend who was a pilot. The pilot is the man who brings ships in and out of the port, and the pilots in Puerto Cabello control ship traffic. So his friend, the pilot, had agreed that he would give us a signal when he was by himself in the pilot office, and then we would steam out with all of our lights burning shortly after midnight, and no one would know that we were going out without a clearance. So once we had all that in place, and actually I had not planned to take the ship out. I had planned to have the captain take it out, but when the captain lost his nerve and somebody else had to do it, then I was forced to volunteer to do it.